is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Artie Dotson.
Here's the deal, folks. You know how you when you mishear someone's name and then you call them by that name? Sometimes you just go with it. You just go, yeah, but that's happened tonight. Someone, our guest tonight, has called Kyle Artie. So I love it. I think it's better than your real name.
It's good.
I guess, is that short for Arthur?
He kind of looks like an Artie.
Kind of looks like an Artie. Yeah. And that might not be a compliment. But no. but the voice you just heard, that is of course, our guest tonight, Terry Nunn. Hello, Terry Nunn. How are you?
I'm good.
I want to call you Terry Nunn. I don't want to call you just Terry. I want to call you by the full thing. I won't do that.
My younger son, he calls me Terry Nunn. It's one word.
Terry Nunn. He should be calling you Mom.
Well, he came into my life when he was 3 years old.
Oh, okay.
And my other son was six. And so Kenny, the three-year-old, called me Terry Nunn. Terry Nunn.
Did you adopt this child?
No, they're my stepchildren. I married their father.
Of course, okay. Yeah,
so they came into my life at three and six, and now they're 24 tomorrow, and 20.
And then you told me you also have a daughter who is my.
She's 11.
11's a great age, though, isn't it?
She's starting to hate me. I mean, you know, she's trying to put the makeup on, go to school, and that, and. You know, wear bras. And I remember I was the same way. I wore my 28 AA bra proudly. You know, I got it out of the Sears catalog because they were the only one that sold it. And I wore it proudly. Yep. You know, I had nothing to put in it, but I loved it at 11.
Is she sixth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's my, the 11-year-old's putting on a little makeup too.
Yeah. It's hard, you know, because she's got this gorgeous skin. Mm-hmm. And I tell her, I put on makeup to sort of get the glow you have when you wake up.
Right.
And you don't need it, but she doesn't hear.
Doesn't hear it.
No.
So everybody, you know, I've been tweeting and stuff and promoting. So you already know, if you're listening, that Terry Nunn is the lead singer and of Berlin, a band from the 80s, big band. If you had MTV in the 80s, Berlin, all over MTV. You're not on the first Berlin album.
The very first Berlin album came out on a German label. I don't remember what it was called.
It's called Information is the album.
I was in the band and I had a falling out with the keyboardist
who
was kind of financing the band.
Okay.
And I walked out right when the German label signed us.
Okay.
And he found this other girl and stuck around the record. And did the record.
We don't know that girl, though. We know Terry Nunn.
And then he disappeared. He opened a studio in England. And John Crawford, who wrote the songs, called me and said, you know, I thought we had something, and that guy's gone. And
so come on back.
Why don't we do something? Yeah. So we did. And Pleasure Victim was the first one we did together.
Pleasure Victim was the first one you did together?
First album, yeah.
First album. And let's hear, let's just start it off strong with The Metro. Sounds great.
Thank you.
Now you don't listen to your own albums. What's it like for you when I'm playing that?
I'm analytical when I listen to my music because I think, oh, I could have done that different, that different. But I realize that that's a losing game.
Yeah.
Early on, I think it was our first tour. Mm-hmm. I ran into Rick Ocasek and he came to one of our shows and then he took us to his studio. It must have been somewhere in Boston. And I said, what's it like to have an album on the charts mm-hmm. for, he had one for 2 years yeah. straight.
Yep.
And he said, well, it's awful because, you know, I'm different. And every year I'm going to be different. And every year I'm going to listen to that album and think, oh, I could have done this different because I'm a different person now.
Right, right.
So that's the hard part of listening to my own music is I would never do what I did then yeah. again.
Even though that's what...
Even though that's what connected with yeah. people. Yeah. And I appreciate that.
Because there's a part of it you think, well, if you would have done something different, then maybe it wouldn't have connected.
Yeah. But it's hard to get out of my... When I listen to other people's music, I just get into my, you know,
right.
my sensuality and love it and mm-hmm. feel it. And it's great. But for my own, it's more like more of that critical parent.
Yeah. And this album... the first album you're on, it takes off. It's got three big songs.
Yeah.
You're on MTV. What was it like seeing yourself on MTV?
Amazing. Just hearing about MTV was amazing.
Yeah.
Because I heard, you know, when we were kids, because mm-hmm. you must have been a kid too.
I was.
We heard about this 24-hour radio station. I mean, video station that was going to happen. It's like 24 hours of music. Oh my God! I mean, I used to sit up every Friday and Saturday night and watch Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. and then Don Koishna's rock yep. concert right. afterwards. I would sit up, you know, and just wait for it. I had no life. I was too young to date, really. So I would watch it because that's all the music that was on,
right.
especially live music. So hearing about this station, and it's just like just you don't even music. Have to sleep. You could just turn it on. And there's going to be music all the time, rock music all the time. I thought I was... You know, I died and went to heaven.
It's
so having that I was on it was lucky because Berlin got signed the year that MTV started, and they had 24 hours of time to fill.
So they
didn't have enough videos. So we were one of the only bands doing videos,
making videos, right?
Yeah, with a label, Geffen, who believed mm-hmm. in videos because most of them didn't,
right?
And so they took our videos and played the shit. Can you curse?
Say
on this?
Whatever you want.
Well, they played the shit out of them. No. I mean, it was like every hour we had our, you know. So we got so lucky because yeah. we were nothing yet, and MTV helped to make us household names just because of the timing.
I forget. I think the first day MTV broadcast, I think they played like 12 different like Rod Stewart videos because I guess they made promotional clips.
Yeah.
For, I don't know what they used them for back then. I don't know what the labels did with promotional clips before MTV was on, but,
put them on like Midnight Special. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah,
with
yeah.
Wolfman Jack that's on right. Friday night, he yeah. would play videos. And Don Kirshner sometimes would play videos, but he mostly had live stuff. And they were in the clubs a lot.
Oh, that's
they would
true.
Play the videos and, you know, especially the dance stuff like Rod Stewart.
Right.
They would play that in the clubs, but it hadn't really gotten mainstream yet. Like MTV hadn't right. happened yet. So that's what they did with them.
And in 80, how old were you in 82?
In 82,
if you don't mind saying that.
I was 23.
23. And yeah. how old was I in 82?
12.
I was 18.
Okay.
I was 18. So I was watching, you're just a couple years older than me okay. and you're out there doing it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It happened pretty fast.
Were your parents supportive of your success and your choice?
They were very supportive.
You need that.
I needed it
yeah.
badly because I had an acting career in mm-hmm. my teens when I met right before I met John, and I made this move. I don't know if you remember a show called Dallas.
Yes.
Okay, well, it was starting at the time I was 17 or just turning 18, and they wanted to hire me for the role that Charlene Tilton took.
Oh, that would yeah, I can see. That's perfect.
The
yeah.
teenage thing.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I want to try this music thing, and if I do this TV thing, then this music thing isn't going to happen. And so I went home to my mom, and she said, well, I think if you sign this contract, 7-year contract, if it's a hit, you're not going to do the music thing.
Yeah.
So you might want to think about that, and if you don't try the music thing, you'll regret it. So I turned down Dallas. I lost my agent. Mm-hmm. I lost my manager immediately.
Because they probably thought, what are you doing?
Are you out of your fucking mind?
You really,
I mean, this is so much money. This is, you know, huge studio. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be a big show. And it was.
Yeah.
So they dropped me. So I had nothing. I had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'll give myself a year to meet somebody and make this music thing happen somehow. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, then I'll try to get another agent. And it was exactly a year later that I met John Crawford.
Well, yeah, well, you're
in Berlin.
That's a great story because it worked out for you.
It did. I got lucky.
Now you brought up the acting, so I have to talk about you auditioned to be Princess Leia.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I know
me.
It was crazy. It's crazy doing it.
we have some of your audition. Can we play it?
Yeah, you can see it on YouTube.
I know you can, but yeah. in case the listeners don't know about this, play a little bit of the number one. It gets better.
Well, all the data banks in R2 are still secure.
Then I think that we're due the reward that you offered, and I trust it'll be substantial considering what we've been through.
Then look, when R2 has been safely delivered to my forces, then you get your reward. You're my guarantee.
What's the little droid carrying that's so important?
Okay, the plans and specifications to a battle station with enough firepower to destroy an entire system. Now, our only hope in destroying it is to find its weakness, which we'll do from the data I stored in our...
The dialogue is ridiculous when you hear it just in audition form, you know, where you're just there saying the lines. It's crazy.
We were sitting in deck chairs in a warehouse reading these lines. Yeah. It hadn't been made yet, so we didn't know what we were talking about.
No, you don't know. And you don't know at that. You don't know what Star Wars is.
We just had to make it work.
Yeah.
And Harrison Ford didn't like me. You can kind of tell. He's just kind of rolling his eyes like, this is not good. And
I think you're every bit as good as Carrie Fisher.
George Lucas did too. I mean, he kept bringing me back, and he was such a kind guy. He introduced me to Steven Spielberg, who then brought me in for Indiana Jones and the second one, the Temple of Doom. But I was just going on tour with Berlin with the first tour, so I couldn't do that. But George was just so kind, and so he thought it was wonderful. I don't know why, but it didn't happen, and I'm really happy, because if it had, then Berlin would never have happened.
Yeah, but you would have just been in a hit movie this past Christmas.
Right, another hit movie. No, but in those days, they didn't have crossover. You know, the Jennifer Lopez's had not happened yet.
Yeah.
So you were an actor or you were a singer. Yep. It didn't go.
Yeah, if you would have done Dallas and then tried to make an album, you would have been
They wouldn't have even listened to
me. Nope, they wouldn't have. They would have said, come on.
Yeah, I knew that.
So you chose the path where you have longevity, which is great.
I am very happy.
All right, let's hear a little bit. Let's play Sex Ima ...
If I feel my love inside you so bright, it's the sound and the smell of love in my mind. I'm a toy, come and play.
Now, did the record label try to tone down lyrics like in songs like these, or were they fine?
No, they loved it.
That was great.
Yeah.
And MTV never tried to censor anything either.
They censored a lot.
They did.
MTV censored every single video we did. Yeah.
I got to see
they
these
were very powerful.
Cuts of these videos.
You know, they didn't like in, for example, No More Words. Mm-hmm. They didn't like, because we did a Bonnie and Clyde thing.
Yeah.
They didn't like the gun shooting. They thought, no, you can't do that. So we just pull that out. They didn't like in Sex. They didn't like the food scene. Of all the stuff in Sex, they didn't like how people were licking things and putting oysters in their mouth. And, you know, they thought that was too nasty.
Isn't that crazy?
So we had to cut that.
That's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you wanted to be on MTV.
But they were MTV. They were the only game in town.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I heard a story that I think they weren't going to show Billie Jean, the Michael Jackson video.
Why?
I don't know if they didn't like the content of the lyrics or...
I remember the big hoopla that they wouldn't play Michael Jackson, period. There were issues with not playing black artists on MTV for a while.
Columbia and Epic said, okay, then if you're not going to play that...
We're not giving you anything.
Don't play anything.
Yeah.
And I think that lasted about a day.
Yeah.
And then they were playing everything.
Yeah.
They were back to the 12 Rod Stewart videos.
They're back to the 12 Rod Stewart videos.
Artie speaks.
I know. He does talk.
He does he?
He does.
Yeah.
He
talks. Oh, okay.
Like when he doesn't talk after the show, I go, will you talk, Artie? You got to talk.
I'm sorry, Kyle.
No, it's okay.
I think Pat's discombobulating me because he asked me how many kids I had and I said two when I have three. I don't understand
and now
where
we're,
my brain is. Maybe it's the wine.
Well, yeah,
you brought in some nice wine.
We are drinking wine because
it's very nice.
I always ask, the publicist or the handler or the manager, whoever the handler. And I said, hey, is there any drink preference? And usually people say, oh, I like a Coke Zero or I get a cappuccino. And Terry flat out with the boom wine.
Yeah.
So we did it.
Game on.
Yeah. I told my wife, I go, yeah, go get some wine today because I don't have time to get wine.
Thank you.
I'm working on a show right now that's going to be on ABC this summer.
Yeah.
And Berlin would be perfect for this show. So hopefully it gets picked up.
Awesome.
The show's called Greatest Hits. And it's a live performance show.
Are you a host?
No, please. They don't want
you're playing.
The show to be canceled. No, I'm a consultant on the show.
Oh, okay.
Behind the scenes.
Oh wow!
Behind the scenes. Did you say playing? I'm a musician.
So you don't play?
No, I love music so much. That's why I do this podcast. I'm a super fan of music. Love it.
Okay.
But no, I don't have any. Maybe I could maybe play drum. I play drums a little bit. Maybe.
Okay.
Artie plays drums.
Artie.
Yeah.
But.
He's gonna hate me for the rest of his life. You're gonna call him Artie for the long time. I could tell.
Of course. When you after we're done recording with you, we're recording another episode with one of my my rotating co-hosts. So yeah, we're gonna call him Artie all that show. Could be worse. Could be Artie Farty. Who knows? Whatever.
Artie Farty. Yeah. What's the next show about?
We do when I don't have a guest, a musical guest like yourself, I have rotating co-hosts and we just do crazy topics.
Okay.
So like.
So what's this one?
Tonight we're doing a thing called Title Fight, where we play two songs that have the same title, but they're different songs. And then.
And you decide who wins?
Yeah. Like I'll play my two songs and then Kyle and Mike Siegel, they'll decide who wins. And if they can't decide, then
like
I
what's
the
two
tie.
Songs that are the same title.
This is nice. Terry's interviewing me. Okay. For example, Badlands by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Is going to face off against Badlands by AC/DC.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't even know either one of them had songs called Badlands.
Yep. Let's Go Crazy by Prince and the Revolution.
Okay.
Going to face off against Let's Go Crazy by The Clash.
Okay. Well, you know, you're not going to do much past Prince at this point.
No. Sometimes we know who's...
Yeah.
It's an obvious win.
Prince could fart right now and he'd win.
Yeah. And you recorded an album at Paisley Park.
I did.
I usually don't jump around, but I jump around
matter
a little,
of time.
Because things...
My solo album.
Yes, your solo album, which came
out. And he
out.
Was there the whole time.
Now, what was he... Could you look him in the eye? Were you allowed to talk to him? I hear sometimes you're not...
He was just a fascinating guy. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anyone work longer than that guy. He would come in at 10. I heard this from our engineer because he worked there. And we'd come in at noon. We'd work till midnight. He gave us his bigger studio to work in. Then he would move into our studio at midnight and work till 4 in the morning. And then he would come back at 10. And the amazing thing is he would come in fully coiffed, full makeup, stage clothes, and he was just recording the whole time.
He would have stage clothes.
When did
on.
The guy sleep? I was trying to do the math. Like, okay, he didn't live there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So he leaves at 4, has to be half hour there and back.
Yeah.
He gets back by 10. But it was an hour for the makeup and hair. It was that good. When did the guy eat and sleep?
He sleeps standing up. He just
yeah, right. Doesn't
wait. He weighed 70 pounds. So
I
he
saw him every day
much.
In the elevator where he died.
Oh boy.
In the halls, and he never spoke to me until the last day I was there.
That is crazy.
He said hello.
No, we're laughing. But look, if he was alive, we'd still laugh at this story. So it's yeah. fine. But do you think he was in full makeup and stage clothes?
I don't know why.
Because other people were there, and that's how he didn't want to be seen. And
I don't know why.
Do you think he owned any sweat?
And for a little while, he had a girlfriend there.
I want to ask you a question.
Who wore exactly the same clothes as he did.
Well, that's insane.
Like matching
and
outfits?
She was smaller than him, and he was small. Mm-hmm. And she would toddle after him down the hall and wearing the exact same outfit. He had the third floor of Paisley Park was where the seamstresses worked and made his clothes. And then the main floor was where, the food place yeah. was and the main studio that I was in. And then there was another one down in the bottom basement. You know, there were three levels. And I guess the seamstresses made his clothes and this girlfriend's clothes so that they would come in wearing exactly the same thing.
Well, maybe because then, maybe then when he would make out with her, he felt like he was kissing himself. Maybe he was that into himself.
I felt bad for her.
For the girl.
Yeah, that anybody would do that. Mm-hmm. He was estranged from his family. I don't know if that stayed the same, but I mean, he definitely had serious social issues, but I thought, okay, he never said hello to me.
Did you say hello to him?
Exactly.
You did.
I realized that writing my goodbye to him is that I didn't say hello to him either. So who's calling the kettle black?
Hmm. Maybe he didn't put out a vibe of warmth or a welcoming vibe.
You know, I guess we both had social issues. Because I could have smiled, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that goes a long way in making somebody's day better.
It's hard to say, though. It's because I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, yeah, I always say hi and smile at people.
Yeah.
Do you think if he would have come down to the studio in sweatpants, it would have been a little better?
That's normal for yeah, studios because right. nobody, who cares? You know, you're not there right. doing anything on tape, videotape mm-hmm. or anything. You're just making music. So it was amazing to me because I would go down in sweatpants. I was there 3 months doing the solo album. I didn't care who was looking at me. But he was perfect every day.
This is fascinating that you have stories about Prince. I think it's amazing. You were at Paisley Park Studios, and who produced the album? David Z.
David Z.
Was he in Prince and the Revolution? Was he a band member?
He was affiliated with him somehow, and that's how he got the studio time there.
Well, let's play something from that since we're talking about it. Let's hear. Here's a song I love. I love this. Confession time.
Sun's up, it's a hot day. Blue sky. There's not a soul around you. Your little god with your foot to the pedal. Hands on the wheel, spilling out through the windshield. Hair streaking back with the wind like a raven over your shoulder. All is forgotten under the rubber. The road is a fire, sweating on your body, lost on the podium. One motivation, single desire. Keep on the move, don't let anyone hear you. Here comes confession time. The ghost of my past on my shoulder now. It's confession time.
Your voice sounds so amazing on that song. You're really rocking on
wow.
this.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
I bet you haven't.
You looked at me so intensely when
you
said that.
I know. Let's go back. I want to play. Let's keep talking about Pleasure Victim real quick because I got to play Masquerade because that's just such a phenomenal song.
Thank you.
Masquerade, please, Kyle.
The painted faces on the street. Caricatures of long ago. Oh, they were young and oh so sweet. Down beyond the boulevard. Knock on doors and empty halls. And still sometimes remember the masquerade.
copies did Pleasure Victim sell?
A lot.
A lot. Gold? Is it gold?
Oh, it's platinum.
It's platinum?
Pleasure Victim, yeah.
Where do you where do you hang this platinum award at your home?
In my office.
Perfect.
Yeah. When I'm working and scared and nothing's coming,
I just look up at that.
Go, I had something once. I was, there was one time when I was good. No, that's, yeah.
How great is it, though? You, Berlin started at a time where you guys, these bands still have longevity. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, like, in the 90s, you know, when I was still listening to, you know, the stuff I still love, Journey or REO Speedwagon or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and my friends would make fun of it. And now the bands that they were listening to in the 90s, they're not, they don't tour, they don't record anymore, they're not packing the houses. So it must be nice when you go out and do shows and people still want to come and hear these songs that meant so much to them in the 80s.
Yeah, it is. I'm as amazed as you are. How?
I'm not even amazed.
Because
I think that's how it should be.
Because at the time,
it's good music.
It is good music.
Yeah.
But at the time, what I loved about it was the electronics of mm-hmm. it, because I had not heard anything like that.
Right.
And I thought, wow, this is cool. You know, it was past bass, drums, guitar, and vocals. It was, now we have sounds that we've never heard before, and mm-hmm. it's endless. Anything we can get on a tape, we can use. And so to me, it was fascinating, but I was a kid. I didn't know how long this was going to last. Who knows what the next thing's going to be? But what's happened is electronic music is still going.
Right.
And I mean, like Nine Inch Nails just put out a single and put an TR-808 drum machine in the beginning of his single, Everything, mm-hmm. from his latest album. You know, that was our whole first album, the TR-808
yeah.
drum machine, because that's all we could afford. So those sounds are still going on. So we don't sound out of date because it's still going on now and morphing into all kinds of things, which are great.
Nine Inch Nails is Artie's favorite band.
Yeah.
Artie?
Yeah.
That's his favorite band.
You're really going to go on with this, Artie. His name is Kyle, and I'm going to call him Kyle.
Okay.
Because that's his name.
That'll be the last Artie until the next show when I tell Mike Siegel that your new nickname is Artie.
He has good taste because Nine Inch Nails rocks my world too.
Yeah.
Trent, you know, the guy is a genius. So, yeah, but I mean, you know, he comes from that time and all these great artists who come after are still using the electronics that we started with. So it's... We don't sound old.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. So when you go, when it's time to record Love Life, how much pressure? Are you guys feeling pressure?
Huge. Yeah, because Pleasure Victim was huge.
But then you did it.
We did well with that record.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
It's a great record.
Thank you.
Let me ask you about you and John Crawford. You're on the cover of He's Kind of in Silhouette on... why aren't the other band members on?
I don't know. We just, you know.
Didn't matter.
It wasn't a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You just try different things mm-hmm. and see what sticks in the photo shoots.
Right. But there's no like.
I'm not good at photo shoots. I'm not a model. I do as few as possible. Mm-hmm. So they kind of probably got a few shots and said, okay, put that one on.
That's a great album cover, though. It's really,
thanks.
It's really, you look beautiful. It's very classy.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we wanted like a movie kind of theme, mm-hmm. love life, right? You know,
I just
like
know,
the 40s.
Right. And you captured it then, because that's exactly what that cover looks like. I always wonder if bands have, animosity, like, you know, sometimes when the singer gets on the cover and they're
lots,
on the cover.
Lots of animosity.
The band
hated me because, you know, everybody wants to talk to the singer. But they hated me, but they didn't like, you know, getting up at 6 a.m. and doing all the interviews that had to be done.
Right.
So I did them. So, of course, everybody knows me because I'm doing all the interviews that have to be done.
See, I kind of think they have the best of both worlds a little bit, because they could then go to the mall and do things that maybe you would be recognized. So maybe you couldn't do that. You know what
I'm
saying?
Well, I was too busy doing all the press and interviews that had to be done, because you got to do them. You know, they just wanted to get up, go to the show,
yeah.
you know, and afterwards get drunk, get laid, and get on the bus. They didn't want to deal with that. So they'd bitch and moan, oh, everybody wants to talk to Terry. But then, you know, 6 a.m. Yeah. comes along and they're still sleeping.
Are you on the, you're on the same bus with all the guys?
Yeah.
Is it, are they like, were they like brothers at that point?
Yes.
Were they looking out for you?
It is like a gang. Mm-hmm. You're all together.
And were they...
Watching Scarface, that was the bus movie.
Were you guys all relatively the same age? Or were you younger
yeah.
than the guys?
David Diamond, the keyboardist, was the youngest. Mm-hmm. He was 4 years younger.
And were they protective of Terry? Were they looking
yes,
out for you?
Yes, very. All right. Yes.
That's good. I like to hear that.
Yes. But see, I was kind of jealous of them because girls are shameless. Mm. They'll do anything
right.
to get laid, get in the bus, yeah. and, you know, they'll take off their top, they'll throw, you know, the room keys. And so the guys got all kinds of mm-hmm. sex. But for me, you know, men are different.
Yeah.
They don't do that because it's dangerous.
Right.
So they don't come. I didn't get that kind of
yeah, they're not
fun.
pulling their pants down right. and throwing keys.
Right, right. Swinging their dicks around. They would get beat up.
Did you want them to swing their dicks around?
I kind of did just because I watched the girls. I remember yeah. walking in on John once and he had a girl on every limb. He had two on the ground and two like on his arms. And I walked into the dressing room and looked at him and just kind of went, wow. You know, I mean, it just looked fun. It'd be fun,
yeah.
right? Just
right.
fun, just to experience that kind of
debauchery. Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, and it's still, I think it's still a double standard that way. You know, mm-hmm. I think it totally is.
But it makes sense because guys are more dangerous. So,
yes.
And I'm surrounded by band and crew and men. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to, hey, baby,
right.
you know,
yeah.
they'd be murdered.
They would be murdered.
Yeah.
Even if you said, no, wait, guys, this is, I kind of.
I want to be.
This,
yeah,
I kind of like this. This guy tonight I like. So if we could just ease off a little bit. But traveling on a bus must be crazy with a bunch of guys.
It
must,
is.
Must be stinky with these
no,
dudes.
No, they were okay.
They were okay. They
yeah.
Cool. That John Crawford has gorgeous hair.
He doesn't. He still does.
Holy crap. That's crazy.
He still has great hair.
That jerk. I call him a jerk only because of his hair.
See, this is kind of news, but the original Berlin Three are writing again.
Oh, I saw you tweet
you
that
saw
today.
That. John Crawford, David Diamond, and I.
Even though you tweeted it, I'm going to say that's a rock solid exclusive. You heard it here first, folks. You heard it
you
here first.
You did hear it.
That's
because
true.
Because that wasn't heard, it was tweeted.
So it's John Crawford and
David Diamond.
And you.
And I. Yeah.
And now in the early days, John Crawford wrote a lot of these songs.
Oh, yeah.
By himself.
Yes.
At least that's what it says in the credits.
Yes.
So now, how is collaborating on songs going?
Well, no, he wrote initially mm-hmm. the songs, but then David would write all the keyboard
okay.
parts, and then I would come in and play around with the melodies and you know blah blah blah.
And
blah,
so,
blah.
Why doesn't everyone get a writing credit that has their hand in the pot?
Didn't at the time.
Yeah.
We just didn't know that it was important.
It's very important.
It is. Yeah,
it's
I
very
learned that.
Important.
Because
like whenever I pick up an album, like I read, you know, like we'll talk about The Cars since that was brought up,
mm-hmm.
and I see, you know, it says Rick Ocasek, all songs by Rick
right.
Ocasek, and I'm like, well, he didn't come up with the guitar solo, and he didn't
right.
come up with. There's so many elements in a song,
right.
besides just the lyrics and the melody.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff in there,
yes,
and that always fascinates me how that happens. How. I guess when you're young, you don't think about publishing and all that kind of stuff. I guess
no,
that's,
I didn't think about money.
It's an age thing. You were just happy to be
happy
on,
to be there.
Yeah, go and having people come out and
yeah,
love what you were
actually
doing.
Actually making a living at music.
Yeah, at music.
Yeah, of any kind.
Yeah.
I was. Yeah.
Let's hear from Love Life. Let's hear Now It's My Turn.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And this album came out on, this was on Geffen Records. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a big deal because back then they had Elton John and Don Henley, and that was a pretty cool label to be on at the time, if I remember.
Geffen was the shit.
He was. In a good way.
In the best way. He was the man.
Yeah.
There's nobody, I mean, Geffen offered us less money, but more commitment. And we were smart enough to take it because money goes.
Yeah.
But his commitment was 3 albums, which gave us the basis to have a career of longevity with his support. He was the real deal, that guy. He was...
smart.
He was smart, and he was true to his word and supportive.
Well, that's the main thing. True to your word is what's important because anyone can say anything and then not back it up. But if he's backing it up, that's cool.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever done this with a guest, Terry. I put out there for listeners, if they had questions, that they could throw me one or two. So, and this one came in like just about right before you got here. I checked the email and got this one from a guy named James Headley. And he said he just watched Berlin, the US Festival. I don't know where he watched that. Maybe it was on YouTube. And he said, I noticed Terry seemed to be genuinely moved and appreciative of playing such an event. And he was wondering if you had any recollections on what your feelings were like walking out on that stage to do the US Festival.
I mean, there's before or since, there's nothing like it. There were 250,000 people there. It was just dirt. It was a dirt area. Now it's the Hyundai Pavilion, but at the time there was nothing there. And the people went over the horizon. We didn't see the end to them. Mm-hmm. That's how far it was.
Do you think the people back there even knew what was going on?
They
on
did
stage?
Because Steve Wozniak, bless his heart,
yes,
had the foresight to actually put not only the PAs, like he spaced them, so because the time difference would have been so huge and impossible to get that far out, that he actually like had stations of amps, you know, and speakers that just went out. I mean, I don't know how he thought of that, but so they were able to stay with the stage and then these huge screens so that they could be part of it. I mean, it was, he lost $9 million just that weekend.
I'm laughing because I feel like
he didn't care.
Yeah. That's what I'm laughing at.
He said, it's my party and I'll do it if I want to. He wanted to do it and he did it. And there will never be anything like that again.
No, nothing like that.
When our day, there was U2, Pretenders, Joe Walsh, David Bowie, Stevie Nicks in one day. Yeah. I mean, it was a whole weekend and just our day. So, I mean, I get to play and then I get to see all these fans and be in, you know, in this space with them.
Now that's ridiculous. All those people you just named are people that, you know, rock and peace, David Bowie, but everyone else is still doing it.
Rocking and rolling.
Joe Walsh just played at the Forum this past week. I mean, it's crazy.
One of the best players in all time.
When did you get to meet Bowie and all these
people? No, I never met Bowie.
Did you meet Chrissy? Did you meet
Chrissy Hynde?
Yeah.
No, I didn't meet Chrissy Hynde.
You didn't meet any of the people that were on?
No.
How did that work then? Did they just like drop you in there and then you're out of there?
It was this huge like backstage and there were like camps and I was, you know, we were just starting out. They probably didn't give a shit about me.
I don't know anything about it. You're my eyes to the world, Terry.
Oh.
You got to tell me about this. When you're playing in front of that many people, because I mean...
Stevie, I met later. Uh-huh. Stevie Nicks, I met later on, but not that night.
Right.
No.
When you play, I mean, no other profession plays to that many people, you know what I mean? Like if you're a professional football player, you play to as many people as they can get in the stadium.
Imagine that.
But this, you're just playing to as many people as they could get out there.
I would suck at any kind of competitive sport.
You're very tiny. You would get hurt playing football.
Yeah, I'm terrible when there's pressure like that to perform. No.
So when you play for a crowd that size, are you just playing to the people you can see?
I'm playing as large as I can so that they see something. Because if you're just standing there, it's kind of boring.
Yeah, when I see the Rolling Stones and they play like at Dodger Stadium or somewhere, Mick is just like so big in his
He's moving what it. He's doing, you know, and he's a smart guy. You gotta get people going, get them into it, and the only way to do it is to, you know, work the stage.
Mick Jagger just must drop when he walks off the stage. He must just fall into a ball and then sleep until the next show.
You know, he's doing for rock what so many have done for opera and country and the jazz.
Yeah.
Who, you know, it's grown up. But rock started in the 50s, so it's just now growing up, so that, you know, there are real veterans that play like Mick Jagger, and I've looked forward to that. I want it to grow up. I want to see these artists and what they're like when they're 70 and 80, like jazz has, like opera has. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just starting to get that now.
You know, we got Springsteen and Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah.
And these people are...
I love Bonnie Raitt.
She's pretty great.
Rockin'. God, she just blew my mind growing up. She was it.
And Chrissy Hynde. I love Chrissy Hynde. She still is a rock and roller.
Oh, man.
To the core.
To the core.
She doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. Not I love that. Grace Slick. I got Grace to interview Slick. Her on my she's radio
like,
show.
She's like in her 80s now, I think, Grace Slick.
She...
But she's retired, right? She doesn't...
Yeah,
anymore.
She won't play anymore. Yeah. But she agreed to let me interview her if I would sing on this song that she was doing for New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina catastrophe.
Nice.
So she let me go to her house in Malibu and interview her, and she doesn't give a shit, man. She just smokes and she talks, and she's just honest and true and bright, and she's for me the icon my child.
That's what you're looking to become.
Yeah, when I saw her, I was like, okay, now I know what I
want
to do.
Now I know when I'm that age, I can say whatever the fuck I want and smoke and whatever.
Smoke and whatever. I don't smoke anymore. I can't do that, but I used to.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be rough on the singing voice, smoking.
Yeah, it's bad.
That was what troubled me about almost every picture that you see of David Bowie. He has a cigarette.
All the way to the end?
Pretty close.
Did he really?
I think pretty much. Maybe not in the last year or so, but I'm just saying all the iconic photos, and he always had like a cigarette.
I'm sorry.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Why are you? I'm just sorry that he did that, because it's a young people's habit, you know? It just isn't pretty.
I don't know how you could even sing, you know, smoking.
Well, it was my solo album, Moment of Truth. That you played a piece of.
That's when you stopped smoking?
That's when I realized, oh, shit, I can't hit that high note. Okay. I'm either going to smoke or I'm going to sing. So what am I doing here?
And I'm sure there's no smoking allowed at Paisley Park.
Not inside, no. No. Yeah, he was a Jehovah's Witness.
I know.
Yeah, vegan. And he did not allow drugs or any kind of alcohol.
Which is weird now, because if he died because of prescription drugs,
though, which kill more people than all street drugs combined. Grace Slick told me that.
I bet she did.
Yes, she did.
I bet she had quite a lot to say about
prescription
drugs.
She had a lot to say about prescription drugs. So, God, I mean, it took Michael Jackson, Prince, Heath Ledger. I mean, how many people does it have to take?
I know.
Prescription drugs. It sucks.
I'm trying to think when I really only take a prescription drug when I'm really, really need to take a prescription drug.
Like, what's the last one you took?
I took a couple right before you walked in.
I had a colonoscopy and I took propofol, thing that killed Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I had that. I had a
Artie,
endoscopy.
Wait, is this Artie's talking? Yeah. I mean, sorry, Kyle's talking?
Kyle is his name.
Yes, Kyle.
Pat.
I'm sorry. Isn't it
great? I loved it.
It's
awesome.
Too.
I can see why Michael Jackson
from
it.
I agree.
I can see why you wanted it all the time.
You're not groggy when you wake up.
I felt amazing when I woke up.
I felt like I had
somebody
slept
put
for
something
20 hours.
Up my ass, and I didn't feel it. I slept like a baby. Yep. Woke up feeling amazing.
And you didn't. And no pain. And a piece of cake.
Great.
I'd do it again tomorrow.
I know.
But yeah, could
but
you
that's
imagine
a prescription drug and it killed?
Yeah,
him.
Could you imagine someone being able to sleep like that every night? Someone just gives you that every night before you go to bed.
I can imagine Michael wanting to do that.
Yeah, you would definitely get addicted to that drug.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have an addictive personality?
Sure, I was addicted to cigarettes.
Okay.
Yeah,
we covered that.
Yeah.
But what about? I've never.
I was
never,
addicted to pot for a while.
I've never smoked pot.
Why?
I don't
It's so easy to smoke. Why did you never smoke it?
I don't know. I've never done any drugs.
In your life?
No, I haven't.
Why?
I don't know. I think I was afraid that I would like it or that I might get addicted to it.
You do like to buy a lot of CDs and Blu-rays and things.
I do buy...
That's not a drug, though, Artie.
No.
I mean, Kyle. But he's very... It's like...
I do like to have, like... I'm addictive, like, in that way.
To music?
Yeah. Okay. Stuff. Little silver discs.
So, if you could pick one band that has changed your life than any other.
I can tell you, I can tell you what my favorite album of all time is, without a doubt. I can tell you that. It's the Who's Next.
Okay.
My favorite band of all time is Cheap Trick.
Oh, I'm doing a cruise with them. My first cruise of my whole
life.
What's
that cruise called?
It is next Valentine's Day week, February 10th through the 18th. And we're going to Jamaica and Florida Keys.
Who else is on that cruise?
It's Cheap Trick, us, Morris Day and the Time.
Wow.
Belinda Carlisle and a couple others.
That's pretty cool.
I play with Cheap Trick a few times. They're great guys.
Yeah.
Just great guys.
Yeah.
But I love them.
Let me ask you that. Let's turn that question to you because I don't know how to even answer it. What's the same question back at you? What band changed your life? What are you laughing at, Kyle?
Just like you're trying to remember the question.
I know. I can't remember the question. I know I couldn't answer
it. Is it the wine?
No.
No.
He's always like this.
Is he always?
Yeah, I'm always a little ditzy.
Wow. So many. I know. It's hard you have to do one. Cause,
I mean, yeah, I love the Kinks. I love the Kinks and the Stones and the Who. I love all that British invasion
I would have
stuff.
To go through. I mean, I had to think of two.
Mm-hmm.
Pink Floyd and Heart.
Heart is so great.
Yeah, because of the female aspect of it, that she was so ballsy, and I wanted to be ballsy. I didn't want to be pretty with a guitar and long hair and, you know, sweet. I wanted to be bitchy and ballsy and like the guys.
Yeah, but man, Nancy Wilson is still very pretty, and so is Anne. They're both beautiful women.
Yeah.
But yeah, ballsy.
They are, yeah.
They were in charge. They were in charge of that band.
In charge. Yes, that's what I wanted.
Told those guys to hit the bricks, and then they got new guys.
Hit the bricks.
They got new guys.
Yeah.
I go see Heart whenever they come through because they just...
They bring it.
They do bring it. Her voice is amazing.
Yeah.
You don't see... There's not enough women playing guitar like Nancy just, you know.
Right.
And I hate that we even have to think about it as that they're... I don't know why Heart just can't be a band. I don't know. But you do think about it. Yeah, they're women. You know what I mean?
What do you mean, the other women?
I mean, no, I just mean...
Oh, you said, they're women.
A band should be a band. It shouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, but when I see Heart, I always do think, you know, for a second, man, these chicks are rocking. Because you don't see enough chicks rocking.
It is, but the Heart is them.
I know.
It's the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just like Eurythmics or... Annie and Dave.
True.
You know, there may be more band, but it's Annie and Dave.
I hope they would. I wish they would come and do some stuff again, the Eurythmics.
I don't think they're going to.
What do you know that I don't know?
I just know that I see Annie making albums that aren't with Dave. So for whatever reason, they're done. Dave is doing other things, and so is Annie.
Is there a producer that you would have liked to work with back in the day or today?
Producer back in the day. Trevor Horn. We tried to get him, but he was expensive.
Damn it. Geffen, pull some money out and pay for Trevor Horn.
What album did you try and get him on, or just any?
Any? Yeah. Any. Yeah.
You did all right. I the producers that you used, I did, like the producer who worked on Love Life is named Mike Howlett.
Yes.
I don't know who he is.
He was great.
Well, I know he is because it sounds great, but I don't like, you know, when I pick up albums I like, it's like Roy Thomas Baker and, you know, guys like that. And I
tried to get Roy for my solo album, but he said no.
How does that happen?
I don't know. He just didn't like the music.
All right. Well, if he didn't like
it. I can't blame him. I mean, my solo album was kind of all over the place.
I love it,
like you said. Thank you. I appreciate that. It wasn't Berlin. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of trying everything.
Yeah.
There was pop and there was rap and there was, I don't know, kind of a country-ish song. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
All over the map. And Roy was like, nah, this is too messy for me.
Well, I guess that's better than him producing music that he didn't love just to get a paycheck.
I agree.
So.
I agree.
Let's hear something called No More Words.
You're talking, it all sounds fair. You promise your love, how much you care. I'm still listening, but still unsure.
What song, when you sing it live, gets the biggest, do you feel is getting the biggest response from the crowd? What one?
The guy who produced that. He wrote it, Take My Breath Away.
Okay. Yeah, the Giorgio Moroder song.
Giorgio Moroder.
That one get, it, that one, see, now, I that song's great, Academy Award winning song.
Yeah.
But Masquerade and No More Words would have me going crazy live.
Thank you. Well, No More Words was produced by Giorgio Moroder.
Oh, it was? Oh, so this
yes.
song. Oh, so there's. Even though this
and
song.
And the reason we got Take My Breath Away was because we were in the studio doing No More Words at that time, because that's all we could afford with uh-huh. him. We begged him to do anything. I mean, we were so in love with him.
Why don't I have that listed as he. As
yeah, No More Words was produced by Giorgio.
Did Richie Zito help him out with that?
Yes, but he was kind of a second lieutenant uh-huh. to Giorgio at the time. So he was in the studio with us, but Giorgio had like three studios going, and he would come in and he would say, oh, I like the horns. Do the more horns. Okay, I love the horns. And then he would leave. And that was how he would produce our stuff, because he was so huge. He had done Flashdance, Fame, you know, Cat People mm-hmm. with Bowie. I mean, the guy was just, you know, on fire. And we were in love with everything he was doing. So he's like, good, would you work with us? And all we could afford was one song. So he stuck us in his studio on Lancashire. And we were working on No More Words mm-hmm. when he got Top Gun. He got the job to do the Top Gun soundtrack. And he came in one day and he said, what do you think? I have this song. He's Sicilian, mm-hmm. you know, hot Italian guy.
I like the impression. I wish you would
like
continue.
It?
Yeah, please.
He says, so I have this song and it's going to be big movie next year. It's going to be Paramount and Tom Cruise. You're going to love it. Oh, you love it. You hear this song. What do you think? So we listened to this song and John was like, I don't want to do it. And I'm like, I want to do it. I mean, you know, it was Giorgio Moroder. Yeah. I would have, you know, he would have, you know, he could have farted and I would have sung it because it was Giorgio Moroder and I just thought it was great and I really loved it. It was romantic. And so John hated me and the label was thrilled.
Yeah.
You know, so we did the song and.
And John did it. He plays on it.
It's no. The whole,
John doesn't play on it.
No, he doesn't.
This is a rock solid exclusive. No. So
he refused to play on it.
Does the whole band play on it but John? Or is
nope.
it just, it's a Terry Nunn solo song?
Right.
That is interesting.
And because it came out at the same time, mm-hmm. yeah, this is a rock solid, nobody knows this.
This is a rock solid exclusive?
It is. Because it came out at the same time as our third album, mm-hmm. Geffen asked Paramount, can we put it on the album at the same time as your movie? And they said yes. So
nice.
It was not a Berlin song. It was me working with Giorgio because John didn't want to do it. And
I am so excited that this just came out. I'm going to say, holy balls.
Holy balls.
Is what I'm going to say.
Holy balls. I've never heard that one.
Use it. Feel free. Throw it around. Your concert next week. Say, holy balls. You guys are awesome.
Holy balls.
I'm going to.
From Pat.
You know what? We're going to go out to the Canyon Club and see you next week.
Cool.
Because I live in Woodland.
My guest list.
What the fuck did you just say?
I just said I'll put you on my guest
list. Are you lying
list.
To me?
I'm not lying. I do a lot of things, but lying isn't.
They're going to be like, we don't have an Artie.
Artie who?
Artie on the guest list.
He didn't have any driver's license that said Artie.
Can I refresh your wine?
No, that would be a mistake.
All right.
I'm already saying things I shouldn't be saying.
I like how it's going so far. I don't want to get an email tomorrow that says, Terry would like you to take out that one part.
You're going to have to do a lot of editing.
Now, you're writing with John right now. Would he be mad that you said that? Would that cause a rift? I don't want to cause a rift.
No.
And yet
you know,
I'm never taking that out.
He, you know, he's grown up and so have I. And he is so different mm-hmm. from who he was. And he knows what a jerk he was.
That's what's good. Self-awareness.
Yeah.
In your older years.
To not be okay with this wonderful song that fell in our laps that was given to Berlin.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I didn't write it. So, you know, it was that 20-year-old ego stuff.
Did you sing it at the Academy Awards that year?
I did not.
Who sang it?
Lou Rawls.
That bitch. That girl, Lou Rawls, a bitch.
Yeah, but it was my fault.
Why, did you say you didn't want to sing it? Terry, why?
I know, it was the stupidest thing in the world. They called me, and in my 20-year-old egomaniac, whatever I was at the time, they said, okay, we're going to do a medley. So we'll do a piece of your song, then we'll do mm-hmm. a piece of the other song, and we'll do a piece of the other song, and we'll just kind of put them together. What do you think? And I said, no, I'm going to sing the whole thing, or I'm not doing it at all.
And they said, then you're
and they
not
said,
doing
thank
it.
You. Click.
Why Lou Rawls? That doesn't sound... Why?
Why did I say that?
Well, I don't know why
That's
you said
what
that.
My mom has been telling me the entire rest of my life.
She would have said, I would have had tape
what
of
are you.
What
you, an idiot? I mean, I was an idiot.
So I wonder if you would have agreed to it, would the band have played or would it have just been you? I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
The next album... Count Three, you know, what songs did I not play we'll move on. We'll move on to Count Three and play. You have guitarists all over this album.
Yes, because we didn't have a guitar player. Our mainstay left. So we brought in Ted Nugent.
Yeah, he plays on
Elliot
Trash, right?
Easton, David Gilmour from Pink Floyd. Okay, my life changed with that one. And who else was on that? We had many guitarists. We had
some
Kate
guys
Bush's
I don't know.
Guitarist. Who is
Kane Roberts.
Yep.
Greg Wright. I'm bummed though. Right. In the credits, it doesn't say what song the guys are playing on. At least not in the CD credits.
Sorry.
That's not your fault.
Well,
I blame
Ted
Geffen.
Ted Nugent played on Trash and Sex Me, Talk Me.
What was that? Now, look, we all know Ted Nugent. We all agree with his politics. even if we're not so much on board with his music, we agree with... What was now? Was he? Did he come in? Did he lay down his track when no one was around? Or was he in the studio with you?
He was in the studio with us. I love that guy. He met us in an airport somewhere, and just said how much he loved the band and what we were doing. And so we asked him to come in, and he started playing, and you know, he was being the Nuge.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really working. And so the producer Andy said, you know, we really like another approach to this. And he said, don't worry, I'll keep playing till you get a boner. That was Ted.
The last time I saw him in concert, I saw him at the Canyon Club with all the hillbillies.
Yeah.
You know, with
Ted Nugent played the Canyon? Wow, awesome.
He's going to be there in July.
Awesome.
He played this riff.
Yeah, that's Ted.
And he goes, Zach, sound good? And everyone went, yeah. He goes, fuck you, it sounds great. Okay, that's the part of Ted Nugent I like. That guy's the guy I like. Well, let's hear that. You still play Trash in concert.
We do.
Let's hear Trash.
We are right now.
Well, that song rocks.
Ted Nugent, man. How could it not?
You were doing a little air guitar there. I was. Do you play any instruments?
I don't.
I didn't think so. It didn't look like very good air guitar to me.
Terrible.
My wife one day was air guitaring, and it was like she was like, and I'm like, no, don't. That's not.
Even, no, don't.
It's very. It's not. Up very high.
She like, holds her guitar very chain. High, like she's a Beatle.
Your wife's really pretty. Is that her? Yeah. Up there.
Yeah, I don't. She's really pretty. Don't deserve that, and all my friends tell me so.
Why not?
No, because my friends say, you married way up, dude. And I'm like, you know, first of all, that's a compliment to her, but an insult to
me. How'd you meet her?
I'll tell you how I met. I met her at a comedy club because I used to be a stand-up comedian.
Oh.
I know. You can't believe it because I haven't been funny. But
I haven't been funny.
No, I used to be I was a stand-up comedian and I...
That was funny.
And I never... Terry, I would never approach girls. You know, if I met a girl, but I saw her and I was like, I got to find out who that is.
Aww.
And so by the end of the night, I managed to get her, her phone number from her. And then I just called her for like, I would call her like every couple of days for like 2 weeks and just talk. She probably thought, who's this crazy person just talking? But I didn't make it seem like, and then I think she started to say, well, hey, does he want to ask me out or what's going on? And why isn't he asking me out? What's wrong with me? And then eventually I asked her out. And then we've been together ever since.
And when was that?
1995.
What year?
First year I came out here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, and we've been married for, this year will be 18 years.
Wow. Yeah.
How long have you been married to your new guy?
We just celebrated our 15-year anniversary.
That's amazing.
2 days ago.
I saw you tweeted the card that he gave you flowers, and he
said, I still can't believe I get to see you naked.
That's what he said.
You got to marry that.
Yes. Right? Especially if he's still saying that in
exactly.
20 years.
Exactly.
And he will be. 15 years is a long time.
Aww.
When you go on tour, does the family stay home, or do some people come and travel with you?
They stay home.
They do.
Yeah. It's hard to be on the road.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
I'm sure.
You know, you see the fun parts because that's what...
The show is the fun part.
The
Everything
record
else,
labels want you to see, the fun parts. But it's a lot of work.
If you could just snap your fingers and be on stage and snap your fingers and be back in your bed, it would be terrific.
Right, but it's a lot of schlepping around and sound checking and, you know, there's just a lot of work involved.
Listener David Finn wanted to know if there were any stories about working with Giorgio Moroder, but you answered that. You pretty much told us what he was like, unless there's something...
Just love him. He's a great guy.
Yeah, and he's still doing it.
He's still doing it. He's DJing now.
He's DJing.
It's so awesome. He should be.
Well,
you
sure.
know, the guy was the original, you know, he was one of the original dance guys.
Someone wanted to know about acting, about Princess Leia. We covered that. Mm-hmm. Let me see. And then you covered this. This is Amy. So she wanted to know about the original lead singer from Berlin and what happened and how you came back. We covered that.
Well, the original singer was Tony Childs. She was up for a Grammy. She did a solo album after Berlin, because I was the second singer. Tony Childs was the first. She did an album with Peter Gabriel,
mm-hmm.
and she was just a great singer.
She had a nose piercing,
totally
I think.
Intimidated.
I think that's what I remember about her. She had a nose piercing.
She's a really good
before
singer.
Before a lot of people had that. And then I just want to name these names. And then Tony Eckhoff, he was the one that emailed me and wanted to know about auditioning for Princess Leia.
Okay.
Let's hear some more music. I want to hear the song that Pink and Velvet, which David Gilmour plays on. And start it from where I have it cued and then jump to the solo. It's an amazing solo that he plays. And you were in studio with David Gilmour also?
Oh, my God. That was a life-changing experience.
Let's hear it, Kyle.
No more lines tonight. So you want just a loving time.
Jump to that solo. We can all go crazy when we hear David Gilmour.
It's going to take me a second.
What? You get on
I can't
that right
just
now.
Immediately.
We have people here.
4 minutes.
We have people.
Oh.
Such a great solo.
Oh my God.
And that song is a 6 minute and 44 second song. That doesn't seem like a Berlin song at that length.
He just played Bob Ezrin, mm-hmm. who produced the third album, who produced The Wall, brought him in, and he put a loop of that part onto the into his headphones, and he just played for 20 minutes.
Oh,
and Bob
God.
Cut it down. And that's what he did on The Wall.
Wow.
He just took, I mean, for 20 minutes, he played God. I sat there and listened to him, and I thought, and I said to him, I'll have your children. I will do anything you ever want for the rest of your life if you will just marry me and keep doing that forever.
He turned you down.
Yeah, he did. He was already married.
Nah, jerk.
Now, is it purposefully called Pink and Velvet because
of David? Pink Floyd?
No, it was called. No, I had written that song already. And I didn't know David Gilmour was going to come in and play on it. I mean, I wrote it. There was a book I read called Christiane F. about a heroin addict.
Yeah.
A teenager. So I wrote it for her.
Oh, wow.
And Bill and Bob brought in David Gilmour.
That's amazing. Mike Siegel just walked in. Mike Siegel, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin.
Hi, Mike Siegel.
Mike, we had a Rock Solid exclusive. She said she's never said this before. Take My Breath Away. That's really just a Terry Nunn solo song.
What?
The band doesn't play on it.
Yeah.
Really?
How about that?
That is true.
That's amazing.
Thank you. I had nothing to do with it. Other songs that are great on this. I mean, I love this. I really like Count Three and Play. I think. Count Three and Play.
I kind of like your version. That's kind of cool. Count Three and Play. Yeah, I like that.
Can you tell Mike what you called Kyle earlier?
Artie.
How great is that?
I don't know where it came from. You know, I was saying all kinds of weird things.
Literally.
Sorry, Mike. Sorry, Artie. Kyle.
One more. I want to tell you one more thing, Mike. Did you know she auditioned to be Princess Leia?
Yes, I did.
Okay, shut up, Mike.
Other
songs that I love in this album are like Flames and You Don't Know. This has some great.
Thank you.
How do you put together a set list at this point? Because you want to play new stuff.
Depending on where we are. Because, there's a lot of songs. So the coasts tend to be a little more eclectic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Midwest kind of likes more meat and potatoes, let's party songs.
All right, cool.
You know, it depends.
So let's
depends
talk
on the audience.
Let's talk. Are you okay? You still hanging in there?
Yeah.
Are you good? I mean, are you good
do
if
I
we
look
talk?
Kind of strange?
You don't look strange.
Okay, thank you.
So after this album, the band breaks up.
Yes.
What happens there?
Then I did the solo album.
No, I know that. I'm asking, why did the band break up? What happened with the...
We just...
What if I just let that go?
When
you
I
go,
look
then I did
back,
the solo album and I just went, oh, okay.
Why? When I look back, honestly...
Yes.
We were tired and sick of each other. And we were too young to know that. I mean, we made it about, oh, you don't know where the band's supposed to go and I do bullshit, which wasn't real. What was true was we never stopped because the label didn't want us to stop.
No.
And we were too young to say we need a break.
Right.
So what happened really was we were just tired
burned out.
Needed a break
and
took one for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah, there's no Berlin albums
until
2002 with Voyeur.
Right.
But at this point, it's not the Berlin that we know. It's Terry Nunn's version of Berlin.
Yes.
How did you get the name from these guys?
I bought it. It was available.
It was available. Wow.
Yeah. John let it go. Because he was doing mad science. He was out of music entirely at that point. So he let the name go.
And so when you buy the name, is he cool with it?
Not at all.
Oh, boy.
No, he wasn't
here
happy.
Here we go.
No.
All
but
right.
There was nothing he could do.
But now we know that you're writing together again, so it's all water
it's
under
all
the
good
bridge.
Now. Yeah.
You guys were on Bands Reunited.
Yes.
And the original, everyone got together.
Yes.
Let me tell you something about this Bands Reunited show. Listeners will know this. My friend Jimmy Pardo and I, he's a comedian. He's a successful comedian. He's not like me. He's successful. We were brought in to help create that show. And Jimmy was the host. And we did the pilot. I wrote the pilot and Jimmy was the host of it. And the band that we used in the pilot was Wire Train. And then they moved on without me and Jimmy.
Why?
Because they're network jerks.
And what do you mean they moved on?
They moved on.
They took your idea?
It wasn't, we didn't come in with that idea. They had this idea for a show called Bands Reunited.
Okay.
They brought Jimmy and I in to help them workshop it.
Okay.
And to shoot a pilot.
Okay.
And every idea that we gave them, they said they did not like that idea.
Okay.
When the series premiered and we watched the show, every idea we gave them, they used.
They just walked away without you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That sucks. Yeah.
And I'm kind of mad at you because you did that show. No, I'm kidding.
I did. We were the first show.
It was great. It was a great episode.
Yeah, Richard Blade brought us in because he was hosting it.
You know what? You know what bummed me out about that show? And this is the kind of stuff I would say to them. They would go to someone's house.
Right.
Okay, they would go to your house and then knock on the door.
Yeah.
And you'd open the door.
Yeah.
And then after that, they would go inside and get a shot from the other side of the door opening so you could see the host. And I would say, there wouldn't be cameras in the house unless if she didn't know we were coming. And they were like, people are dumb. They don't know that. And I'm like, no, that's terrible. You can't get a shot of the host from inside the house. And they were just like, maybe that's why they let us go. Maybe I was too difficult. But that doesn't make sense, right, Mike? It's ridiculous. I'm like, no, people aren't dumb. They're going to know when she opens that door and you see the host from her point of view that there's a camera in the house. But anyway, that's the last time the original members played together was for Bands Reunited.
At that point, yes.
And you played at the Roxy?
Yes.
I think you sold that out?
That's right.
Was that exciting? Was everyone excited
about it?
It
was exciting to reconnect, especially with John, mm-hmm. because we hadn't spoken in 7 years. And I wanted to reconnect with him.
Cool.
Yeah. Thank him for giving my kids a college education. You know, the stuff we did together was big.
Yeah.
And why be in a fight when so many beautiful, wonderful things happen with what we did? I wanted to heal that. And that show helped to heal that.
Well, I take full credit then. Well, what's great
Thank
about
you,
it, what's
Pat.
Great about it, at that point, he's doing his thing, married, and he's mm-hmm. got kids, and he's getting some mailbox money from the publishing, and you're able to go out and see the fans and perform the music, and you're able to make a living from the performing mm-hmm. of it. So that was kind of, that worked out on both ends.
Yes.
Let's play something from Voyeur. Let's hear a little bit of Blink of an Eye. I believe there should be no segregation. I believe that this magic of season, now it's time to spin it around. What do you do for 11 years between albums? What do to keep yourself busy?
I got a life.
Got a life?
Got married.
Married.
And
had a baby.
Played around.
Played around?
Yeah. Did the solo album. Mm-hmm. Worked with Andrew Eldritch from Sisters of Mercy on something he was doing. Worked with a jazz artist, Dan Siegel, on his album. I just had fun.
You wrote songs for Voyeur with Billy Corgan?
I did write a song with Billy Corgan. Yeah.
Was that cool to work with him?
Yeah. Yeah, he's wonderful.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And now Berlin is a thing. It's a thing again. It hasn't since 2002. Mm-hmm. It's Berlin.
Yeah.
You're not billed as Berlin with Terry Nunn or Terry Nunn in mm-hmm. Berlin. You just go out as Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Thanks.
I like that you do that. You know that the name means something to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I don't know what to say to that.
I don't know.
Is there a question?
No, there's not. Not a good interview. your solo album also has a song written by Rick Ocasek on it.
Yes.
When I hear that song, it sounds just like It sounds like a Rick Ocasek song. So, Kyle, if you have that queued up, let's hear a little bit. The song's called Fly By Night.
They want to fly forever, and when you come away, it's your holiday. You gotta fly by night. Once in a while, you gotta fly by night.
Yeah, that sounds just like it could be on a Rick Ocasek solo album.
I was really honored that he gave us a song.
Are these
that
songs?
Was
are you
cool.
Are you rethinking the set list because of the songs I'm playing?
No.
Okay. what was it like recording Animal when you're in charge now? You are like, you're in charge of everything. You don't have to, you know.
What was it like? Yeah. It was exciting because I loved what everybody brought to it. Mm. And I loved the whole EDM undercurrent to it. But with the Berlin message on top.
Who are the, you want to give a shout out? Tell us who the current band members are?
Right now?
Sure.
Dave Schultz comes from the Goo Goo Dolls and General Public.
What does he play?
He plays keys.
Okay.
And Carlton comes from Orgy and The Dreaming and... There's another band that I'm forgetting, but he's wonderful.
What does he play?
He plays guitar.
Okay.
And then Chris Olivas, he's been with me so long, he hasn't been in any other bands. We've been together 16 years.
I'm going to guess he's on drums?
Yes, he's on drums.
Because you know how I guess that, right?
That's all that's left.
Right. What if I would have said, let me guess, trombone?
Well, you could have said bass, because we don't have a bass player in the
what
band.
What the... How's that work? Are we bass key? Are
because
we doing bass keys?
Yeah, I mean,
is he doing
most
a Rayman,
of Berlin
Rayman
was
Zarek thing?
Keyboard bass. Mm-hmm. So we have it on track.
All right. Are you annoyed with me right now?
No.
Are you having fun? You seem like you're having fun.
I'm having fun.
All right.
Do I seem like I'm having
you
fun?
You do seem like you're having fun.
Thanks.
Are you having fun? Of course. Except when Mike came in, I started.
I know you're kind of looking self-conscious now.
He kind of brought me down a little bit, to be honest.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is he blowing your buzz?
Did you go wait in the car? Now your handler said, "Is this an audio or an audio and video podcast?" And I said, "It's just audio." And she said, "Because Terry wants to know if she can."
You have to like come in with TV makeup?
Yeah.
And all that shit.
But so I thought you were going to come in with like your hair in a bun and a baseball hat. And and some pajama pants, and you came in, you're all, well, people will see because we're going to take a photo before you leave. You look fantastic.
Well, thank you.
So what do you look like if you have makeup done? I can't even imagine.
I look like I'm TV ready.
When we see the show at the Canyon, can he be on the guest list for that too?
Mike?
Yeah.
Sure.
Mike, are you around next Friday?
No, I'm leaving.
Fuck you, Mike. seriously, F him. Say it, tell him.
I would go otherwise.
Tell him. He could stick in town, stick around.
I don't need to tell him that.
He knows, right? All right, let's hear the title cut from Animal. I love when bands still make new music. Thank you for keeping the creative juices flowing. I might be drunk, Terry. Is your husband?
I fucking love that song. Well, that guy I wrote it with,
mm-hmm.
He comes from a Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have sex till he was 28 years old.
Okay, look.
So it all went into this music that he writes, you can hear it,
Mike. You know
that's why it's so hot,
Mike. You know what I'm gonna say, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, look. I'm going to tell you something, Terry Nunn. That's what I call you. I call you with your full name. I was raised Catholic also.
So you understand.
I did not have sexual relations with a lady until I was 25.
There you go. So now you understand why yeah. Animal is so hot. Because yeah. he just put it all in the music because that's all he could do.
I didn't have music to put it into.
So you just, that's why you love music so much, because yes. that was your sexual release.
Hey, look at you, what you're saying. I like that.
I get it.
Okay.
Anyway, I just hear it in this guy. When I heard this guy's music, it was like, oh my God.
How did you meet him?
Through another songwriter friend of mine, Marty Fredrickson, who...
Oh, yeah, Marty Fredrickson.
Yeah, he's wonderful. Yeah. But he writes more mainstream.
Yeah, yeah, Aerosmith and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
And we've known each other since we were kids and we're starting out. So I said, hey, do you know anybody who's doing electronic music? I want to do a new album. I'm, you know, working with people.
And he said, yeah, my virgin buddy.
I got this guy. I got this guy who came in and he's, yeah.
Never had sex.
He didn't know that. But he said, I got this guy who came in and he's, it's all electronic stuff. And he played me some of the stuff. Fuck me. It was just so good. His name is Derek Canavo. And so we started working together. And
cool. Thank you, Derek. Yeah.
Thank you, Derek.
Is your husband musical?
No.
Do you, so when you're working and you're writing a song, do you run it by, when you run it by him, does he like, yeah, that sounds cool, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about your daughter? She have any, can she sing?
She loves music, but she's not a singer. She's a dancer.
She's a dancer.
Yeah.
She wants to be a ballerina.
No.
I know. I'm kidding.
Hip-hop.
Hip-hop.
She likes hip-hop.
Wow.
Dancing.
And she's good?
She is an athlete.
Oh, okay.
She is really good at soccer. She's one of the star players.
And you were not athletic?
Not really.
Was your husband athletic?
Very.
Oh, okay. So that's where it comes from. Because sometimes people have an athletic kid and you go, I don't know where this is coming from. Because none of us have, we fell down just bringing the groceries in. let's do some promoting.
You are funny.
Well, thank you. Mike, see?
Why don't you do stand-up anymore?
You know what? I just like to be funny on the fly. I like to just in the moment be funny. The thought of writing out, you know, some bits and then honing it and all
not
that.
Not exciting you.
No.
So you don't like work.
But like,
you don't like to work.
But like, if I just say something, if I say something off the cuff and he laughs or you laugh or Mike laughs or anyone I'm around laughs, that's what really gives me the charge, because I don't know where it came from, but I know that I have that in my back pocket somewhere.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm in therapy right now. Because you're very much, okay. Let's do some promoting. You, on Twitter, you are at Real Terry Nunn.
Yes.
Because apparently there's a fake Terry Nunn out there.
Yes, there are a few.
And they just pretend.
I don't know.
They
just have websites and call themselves Terry Nunn.
It's ridiculous.
And have pictures. And
so follow her or follow you on at Real Terry Nunn. The band's website is?
BerlinPage.com.
BerlinPage.com. That's where you find all the upcoming tour dates.
Yes.
Do you know, you know what, I can find, Kai, you want to find the upcoming tour dates and give them? Thank you for giving us your time tonight.
Well, they're coming up here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. On my birthday is The Rose in Pasadena. And then the next one here is Starlight Bowl, Burbank, July 30th.
And this episode will drop on June 2nd, and I think June 4th is when you are...
That's our first show
at the Canyon Club.
Of this whole season, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
the Canyon.
The Rose is a cool venue.
Yeah, that's June 25th.
I saw Ricky Lee Jones there a couple months ago now.
Chucky's in love.
Sometimes she doesn't play that song.
Love that song.
Can you believe that?
Dude.
Yeah. I looked at the set list prior to going. I'm like, ooh, a couple nights she didn't play it.
That would suck.
I know, but
that
then
was kind of like seeing Trent, Nine Inch Nails with Jane's Addiction, play nothing that I knew. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, you got all these songs you spent years writing that we love.
Yeah.
And you're not going to play.
That was on the Ninja Tour, right?
It sucked so bad.
Did you see that tour, Kyle?
No, I saw they like extended the leg because they announced they were doing a farewell tour. Mm-hmm. So I saw the Wave Goodbye portion of it. Like, they just extended their dates.
And then did they change up the set list then?
Yeah.
Thank God.
It wasn't with Jane's Addiction.
They played everything that you knew, you know, and it was like great, you know, because that's what you go for, to hear the songs you know. That's the point.
I would assume three shows in, Trent Reznor should have said, you know what, I think we got to change it up a little bit.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't.
No.
He didn't that night.
Oh, well, maybe you save that for when you're on mic. Maybe that's when you tell that story.
Mike's talking in the background. Nobody can hear him.
What did you find? What are the tour?
Yeah, so on June 4th, they're at the Canyon Club.
Yeah, we're going to be there. Guest list.
June 11th, they're at Big Bear Lake.
Big Bear.
At the Cave.
Mm-hmm.
And June 25th, they're at the Rose. And then you go to Australia for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And you come back on July 30th at Burbank.
And then we got Chicago and Wisconsin.
Yeah, Las Vegas, Chicago.
Milwaukee, Las Vegas.
What if when you play in Big Bear that you're actually in a cave? It's just a cave. Someone booked it.
It's not a cave. It's a really cool club.
It's called The Cave, though, isn't it?
Yeah, we're kind of doing our warm-up shows in June.
So when we see you at the Canyon Club, you'll be working out the set list in your hometown to get ready to take it on the road.
Yes, because that's really my hometown. That's only 10 minutes from where I live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's 10 minutes from where I live, but from the other direction. So
that's right.
That'll be fun. Terry, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I hope you had fun.
I had a great time.
I can tell you because I always know what shows the listeners are going to like when I have guests on. And I guarantee you they're definitely going to love this one. Seriously, they are. Because the people that are best are the ones that are just open and honest and fun. And anyone who says, what I want to drink is wine, is obviously going to come in and have some fun.
We also get, you know, like we'll get a lot of listeners that'll probably email and be like, oh, I forgot about this song, or oh, I've never heard this, and they'll buy it on iTunes.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about a lot of songs that you played of mine.
Let me ask you this.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you what you want. I'm going to tell you some songs that I have queued up. What would you like us to play out with? Why don't we play out with something from Animal, since that's your most recent album.
Okay.
Here's what I have queued up. Blame It on the World, Stand Up, or Don't Make Me Regret It. Do you like any of those? What if she said she didn't?
Don't Make Me Regret It.
Okay, we'll play out with Don't Make Me Regret It. But before we go, you can follow Kyle at Kyle Dotson Funny.
Or Artie Dotson Funny.
Artie Not Funny. You can follow us at
Thank
Rock
you,
Solid.
Kyle.
At Rock Solid Show. I'm at Pat_Francis. Go to iTunes and buy Berlin Music. Voyeur needs to be put on iTunes. It's not up there.
Seriously?
Voyeur's not there.
Oh, okay.
Foreplay is, and you guys do a great version of The Dope Show, which is one of my favorite Marilyn Manson songs.
Thank you.
So go to iTunes. If we played songs tonight like Pink and Velvet, go to iTunes and buy that. And put a little money in mailbox money for none. What if I talk the rest like this? That's what you're going to do.
I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I can't wait to hear whatever new music you and the guys from Berlin are working on.
The original Berlin guys. That will be the next album.
And let me ask you this. You write songs with these guys. Then are these guys going to join the current band?
There might be a tour.
Holy balls.
Yeah. That's holy balls.
That's another Rock Solid exclusive.
That's big holy balls.
Next Saturday at the Canyon Club, if you say holy balls on the stage.
Will that make your night?
I will shit my pants. Kyle, play us out with the song that Terry said, which I forgot the title.
Don't Make Me Regret.
Yes, of course.
Thank you,
Terry.
Pat.
Oh, I can't push you away now. I've already opened up. And I don't even know how. I've already given you so much. Oh, it's easy to figure out. Is it easy? Is it easy to be you? Oh, if only.
You put your